Hey guys, and welcome back to the Six Sec Cultural Podcast. Today is just me and Dan. Today, as you all know, Enzo's on vacation in Rome, so lots of content coming from Italy very soon for you guys. But today we have a very interesting match day for the Serie A. Not as exciting as match day one, but it's still a very interesting and exciting week for match day two. So we're gonna talk about a lot of upsets in the league and a lot of blowouts. Dan, how are you?
Doing well. Another impressive display from Napoli. We'll get into the podcast, but I'm doing well. So far I'm very happy with the way we're starting, and hopefully we can continue.
Yeah, no, of course. First we're going to start off with Udinese Salernitana. Dan, I'm going to let you start off with this game first.
Yeah, it was a very stalemate game. Not much going on. Silvestri was probably the busier of the two goalies. Not really a lot of chances in this game. There's been a lot of games this week that they were boring. If you're a fan that likes scoring, you like chances, it's been a lot of games that were just boring. But I thought Salernitana were the better side on this game. Once again, like, nothing really to talk about. It's just stalemate game. It was close. There's a few chances here and there, but not really anything to really talk about, but it was a good point for Salernitana. And Udinese, again, they couldn't get the 3 points. It's a game that they needed these 3 points. They couldn't score. And Salernitana took the chance, and they almost won a few times, but it wasn't meant to be. Silvestri made some nice saves. He was probably the man of the match overall in this game. And, yeah, it was a good point for Salernitana, and Udinese probably feels like they dropped 2 points.
Yeah, like you said, Dan, Udinese just couldn't get the ball rolling this game. Salernitana definitely the better of the two sides. They kept the ball more. They created more chances. And if it wasn't for Silvestri, like you said, I think Salernitana would have got the 3 points. But a very close game. And I don't think enough chances were generated for either team to significance that they deserve the win. So I think a draw is a fair result here. Next, we're going to go with Lazio Torino. And this one was shocking because I felt like Lazio could have got the win here. But Torino played very well, surprisingly. I definitely thought this would be not a cakewalk for Lazio. But Torino hasn't been in the best form, and I think Lazio could have capitalized, and they just weren't able to find the net. Obviously, there was a couple of chances. Between them, a couple of challenges. Lazio were definitely the dirtier team. Between Lazio racking up 5 yellow cards, and that brawl at the end in the 90th minute was definitely interesting. But again, another pretty much stale match, just a back and forth game where neither team could just find the back of the net. Dan, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, once again, I wasn't really impressed with the way Lazio played. Like, I know last week they picked up a win, but just the way they've been playing these first two games, I really haven't been impressed. I thought when Antonio came in, he was going to do a good job because he's a good midfielder, but he looked very lost. So you can tell he hasn't really adjusted to the league yet. But for me, I thought Torino, again, were the better side. I really liked the way Ricci was playing. He was controlling the mid, and I really like the way Buongiorno was playing too. He's stepping into that role for Bremer to try to find that replacement, and I feel like Torino might be playing Buongiorno a little more. He's a young center back. He was winning a lot of duels. He was winning a lot of ground battles this game. Won the ball a lot. Linked up well with his teammates playing in the back three. So I thought Torino were the better side, and once again, Lazio kind of failed to impress me and say this team could be in contention for top four. I know it's still early in the season, but these first two games are a little warning signs for Lazio as they're not playing their best football.
Yeah, no, of course. And moving on, we got the first very one-sided match, in my opinion, Inter Spezia. I feel like this game was much better than Lecce. I think Lecce, they were just getting the dust off and getting back into full 100% shape. In this game, we really saw what Inter's capable of. Yes, it is only Spezia, but these are the points and the games you need. Inter need these these thrashings against these smaller level teams just to show that they are in contention for the Scudetto. And I think that's what Inter did. Lautaro played very well. Same with Hakan. Lukaku didn't get a goal, but I think he played.
He got the assist.
Goal
for Martinez.
Yeah, so he played his role. He is going back into his Inter form, which we love to see. Obviously, we don't want to talk about his Chelsea form here. So I think his Inter form is very good, which is good. Spezia, they couldn't find the back of the net. They did have a good retention of the ball. They just weren't able to finish the job, and Inter kept capitalizing on Spezia's mistakes, and that's what you got to do. So a great game by Inter, and Spezia just have to keep on moving for next week.
Yeah, no, it was a game that Inter needed. They woke up, you could say, and they played really well. I thought it looked like at times they were the only team on the pitch. Spezia really didn't have any chances to threat Inter, but Inter were the way better side. I really liked the way Brozovic was playing. He was controlling the tempo of the game. He won a lot of duels in his own box. He's probably Inter's best midfielder. He was the best player, probably, you can argue, this game. Martinez gets the goal. He had a few chances in the first half to maybe get two or three goals, but they ended up getting one. Their second half was a totally different Inter side than it was the first half. I felt like Inter at times were kind of missing that final touch, but then Martinez got that goal, and they woke up in the second half. It was just all Inter. Çalhanoğlu got a goal, and Joaquin Correa in the 75th minute, he put it in to kind of seal the deal at that point. So it was a good bounce back display from Inter. I was really impressed with the way they were playing the second half. I know people want to say, oh, it's only Spezia, but we've seen this week too that the big teams even struggled to win. They dropped points against these, so you can use quotes, smaller teams. But I felt like Inter did this really good job of displaying their team, the talents, and their, like, why you shouldn't take them lightly to win the Scudetto. I feel like this could be the year that their Scudetto to win. But still early on again. But I was really impressed with the way they were playing in the second half, mainly.
Yeah, no, of course. I think, like you said, Dan, I think there were times where Inter kind of switched off, and Spezia tried to create something and just weren't able to. And then Inter kind of had those glimpses where they switched back on and, really controlled the game after that. But moving on, I feel like we're going to talk about, potentially one of the goal of the seasons, this year. Sassuolo versus Lecce. Lecce can't catch a break with these goals, unfortunately for them. But I think this game was very dominant by Sassuolo. Obviously, we had that Berardi wonder stick, which was beautiful. But after that, Sassuolo had their chances. They just weren't able to solidify a 2-0 or even 3-0 win. Lecce played very well defensively. Obviously, that Berardi goal, you can't really do much there. But defensively, Lecce were playing very well. They just didn't have any attacking threat this game, barely had the ball. Closer in the second half, they had some chances, and they had some time on the ball, but Sassuolo for 90% of the game, I want to say, were very dominant and were just creating chance after chance and just couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a very well taken goal by Berardi. We've seen goals like this in the past from him, quality strikes. Especially when he's wearing the Sassuolo jersey for Italy, we all know. But it was a good goal. It was a weird win for Sassuolo, I felt like, because I felt like they could have done more in the attacking sense.
Yeah, and they've easily done
I feel
more.
Like now, like especially with the likes of Scamacca going to West Ham, Raspadori going to Napoli, obviously, we'll touch up on it later on. But I feel like Berardi's are kind of like their saving grace, their only hope. If they have to score a goal, it's going to probably come from Berardi. And what a strike it was. It was a beautiful strike. Falcone couldn't do much on it. But I was actually impressed with the way Lecce hung on. They didn't give up. It wasn't 2-0, 3-0. I know usually small teams after they concede like a goal like that, then it's just the floodgates open and they concede 2, maybe 3. But Lecce stood strong. I really like the way Hovland, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the captain of Lecce. I felt like he was probably the best player. He's an interesting player to look out for, too, because he likes to drop in, create. He can win the ball in the mid. So he was playing really good, and I felt like if anything was going to come from Lecce, if they were going to get a chance, it was going to come from him creating from the deep play, kind of like as a deep playmaker, finding out Torrefesa or Di Francesco or Cisse. But Lecce couldn't really kind of really stream one pass together outside of him. He was probably the best player. But I give Lecce a little credit. They played Sassuolo tough. I know it's a depleted Sassuolo team. But who knows? Maybe Baraldi's going to pull miracles out of his behind and his bag and score more goals like this. So definitely a big win for Sassuolo, especially because of the circumstances that's happened with a lot of big players leaving. Realistically, I don't think they replaced them well enough. Maybe Pinamonti could find his form. Who knows if him and Baraldi could find a connection. But, yeah, it was a good game from Sassuolo. Well, mainly, I would say mainly Baraldi. He was their only form of creating a chance and scoring, and he did. He took the volley nicely, and he slotted home for potentially one of the goals of the season. So it was a big win for Sassuolo, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens now with Baraldi. If he continues to perform like this, he's probably their only hope of creating chances.
Yeah, I think Sassuolo fans would go out of bed peacefully knowing that he renewed his contract with Sassuolo and has a couple more years on the contract with Baraldi, hopefully for all Sassuolo fans. But moving on, we have the next 0-0 game, which was strange, Fiorentina-Empoli. I feel like this game was not a 0-0 game at all, wasn't deserved to be. Fiorentina were on the front foot all game. Similar to the other games, Fiorentina just couldn't find the back of the net. Ikone had a very good chance that he should have maybe done a bit better to put away. But other than that, Empoli played very well defensively. Again, they kind of just sat back, Empoli, and soaked up Fiorentina. Obviously, you had that Luperto red card, which great call by the referee to check VAR after and change that yellow to a red, because that was a very aggressive tackle from behind that should have been a red from the start. But just looking back, I think Empoli's keeper did well this game. Vicario, he did his job. The defense, apart from Roberto, did very well to hold off the attack of Fiorentina. And they just couldn't find the back of the net. Buenaventura had a couple of good chances and a couple of good strikes that could have went in, and we could have almost seen another banger from him. But it was just inches wide from the net. Same with Mandragora. I think a lot of their shots came from outside of the box, and they were just going just wide or just over the bar, or Vicario was just tipping it over. So they were just a little unlucky, and they just couldn't find Jovic inside of the box. Empoli was very smart in defending him, and they were just trying to make do with the chances they had, which were all outside of the box, and they just couldn't finish. But Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it was you said best. I did have the chance to watch this game fully. I was watching bits and pieces here and there. But Bonaventura looked good. It was weird because Empoli were, like, you could tell they were trying to just hold on for a long time, period of time. I thought Parisi, from what I saw, I thought he had a good game. Empoli were trying to just hold on, just to try maybe counter, get a goal from Lammers or Destro, one of the two. But realistically, that kind of that red card changed everything. Then they just had to sit back and just absorb the Fiorentina pressure. They didn't break. So that gives them a little credit. They played a very good defensive play of soccer, you can say. And Fiorentina just wasted a few chances. But it's going to happen here and there. So it's still early on in the season. But what I saw from this game, you could tell Fiorentina's attack when they're clicking on all cylinders, like, it can be a scary attack. And I feel like they can be one of the most underrated attacks in Italy throughout the year if they can spark together. Italiano, we all know what he can do with strikers. And especially if he can get his, like, wingers such as Ikone, maybe even play with Sotillo, Gonzalez. They have some good quality players on the wings. And if these guys can start creating, especially from the midfield too, with Madragoa, Bonaventura, if they can start creating from the midfield, I feel like they could be a scary team once they start scoring.
Yeah, no, of course. They definitely have the firepower up top. It's just about finishing those clinical chances. But moving on, before we get into the big game you want to talk about, Danny, we're just going to brush against Bologna-Verona. And I feel like this game, with all the draws, this was definitely the most entertaining draw.
Yeah, I agree.
This game did not deserve to be 1-1. Both keepers were on form. Both keepers were definitely the respective team's man of the match. It was just beautiful calcio all around. Started off with a great Arnautovic goal. Then Henry scoring right before the half. Orsolini, a minute later, with a beautiful goal that was ruled offside just by a couple inches. And then I'm not going to say it died down, but both teams were having chance after chance. The keepers were incredible. Orsolini gets sent off eventually. I think it was a high boot, if I could remember correctly. It was a very dangerous high boot. After that, like I said, both keepers deserve the man of the match. Skorupski with that save. I forgot who shot the ball, but the save Skorupski made really saved Bologna the point here, because that was a beautiful, beautiful shot. And Skorupski, it was an even better save. So for me, he was definitely man of the match out of the two keepers, but both keepers played exceptionally well to keep their teams in the game.
Yeah, again, this was another game I really didn't brush over. Yeah, it was a good, entertaining game from what I've heard, especially you covered it well for it. Arnautovic gets another goal. That's 2-2 for him. Henry, 2-2 for him. But Orsolini gets his goal disallowed, and then he gets a red card. So you could probably say, okay, he's probably pissed off that his goal got disallowed, and that's why he got a red card. But
no,
joking aside. it was probably an entertaining game for someone who sat down and watched it, probably the fans. I've heard the goalies were unreal this game. They were making a lot of good saves. And not really much going on, like, second half. It was just back and forth chances. From the score, the stat sheets, you can see it was like a WWE game, a lot of yellows, reds, it was probably a WWE fight at the end of the game.
The ref got injured. Had to switch out the refs. It was very...
Wow. So this game had everything, basically.
This game had
goals,
everything.
Goals, VAR disallowed, VAR, red cards. So, yeah. It was a good point, probably, from both teams. From what I see, both teams started off with 0 points. Now they got one. So it was a good display from both sides. Let's see if these two teams can... pick up the pace this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, of course. Now, Dan, I'm going to let you start off here. Napoli-Monza, the thrashing. Yeah.
What?
Walk us through this.
Yeah, I don't know where to begin. I'll just start off by saying I was really impressed with the way we were playing from the minute the ball was kicked for kickoff to the end of the game. I felt like we were in full control this whole game. We had a lot of possession. Monza at times were just sitting back trying to absorb. And they were doing a good job to begin with. We really didn't have much. Osimhen had a chance. I should have buried maybe a few headers that went over. But it took a wonder strike from Kvaratskhelia to open the scoring. And by God, what a goal that was. Just a simple pass from Zielinski, and he did the rest. And it was such an amazing goal. I was at the Napoli Club of Toronto watching it with all the members that came. And when he scored, we were just like, what did we just witness? Like, that was an incredible goal. we've seen Insigne do that in the past. Just the distance it was to, and to find the top corner posting in was unbelievable. It was an incredible goal. You could practically say nothing. We saw him lining up. We're like, okay, is he going to grab the goal? Placed it perfectly in the top corner off the post and in. And then Napoli from there, we're on the get-go. And just before the half, Osimhen had a chance. He missed, but then beautiful one soft touch pass to from Anguissa to Osimhen. Osimhen ran in, outpaced the defender. Like, you know, this guy is one of the fastest players in the league. And if he gets by you, it's good luck stopping him. Good luck catching up to him. Placed it home perfectly. From there, 2-0 at the half. And then, once again, another simple pass from Loboka. Kravashkira did the rest. He dribbled by his defender like he was nothing. Like, nothing was there. And then placed it home perfectly. His left foot finish too, I believe. And then, to end the game, corner kick whipped in by, I believe it was Zielinski. Kim gets his first goal in Serie A. It's nice, too, that they both scored. Kravashkilia, two new signings scored at the Maradona, their home debut, you can say. Very impressive display from Napoli. I was very impressed with a lot of the players. I was more impressed with the way Zielinski's been playing these first two games. Last season, he had like a down year, you can say, especially in the second half. But these first two games, he looks like he's trying to get back into that form he was in. I would say 2 years ago when he was considered maybe a top five midfielder in Serie A. And he's been looking good. Loboka, he's looked good. Anguissa's, I really like the way he's trying to get to the attack more. I know last season he said in an interview he would like to start attacking, start shooting more, start getting chances, start creating kind of. And first two games, he's been looking good. He hit the post on the first game against Verona. I believe he shot just wide on the first game as well. This game, he got an assist, which last year he had two assists all year. And already in the second game, he's got half of that. And he's been looking good. Di Lorenzo has been Di Lorenzo. Kim's been good. Laman has been good. Rui's been okay. He was okay this game. But the one thing I want to talk about too is we just announced I don't believe the last time we recorded these two signs were announced, but
no, they were
before the game. Napoli had the opportunity to announce Simeone to the fans. Raspadori, thank God, I've been very high on this kid for a while, and I'm very happy now I get to see him in the Napoli jersey. And the Ndombele, they were announced before the game. And they're doing a friendly tomorrow, which majority of these backups are going to play. And most likely, you'll see the likes of Raspadori, Simeone, Ndombele, Serugu, Ostigard play a friendly against Juve Stabia tomorrow at the Maradona. I believe it was at, it's at the Maradona. And just the fact that Napoli so far, knock on wood, I'm not trying to get hyped up saying, oh, we're going to win the Scudetto. But just evaluating the first two games, I personally, I'm being biased aside, I think Napoli the first two games, despite the teams we've played, I just think just the way we've been playing as a team, the first two games, I feel like Napoli played the best soccer so far out of the first two teams, the top teams, I should say. I feel like Napoli have been playing the best, especially because of the guys that we've lost. A lot of people have been writing us off saying, oh, we're not even going to finish eighth, we're going to finish this, that, like all this stuff. And I feel like Napoli now, they don't have a big chip on their shoulder. I feel like this could allow them to play like we can. Obviously, we have a big test coming up this weekend against Fiorentina, but the first two games, I've been really impressed with the way we've played. And the fact that this game, we've won 4-0, and we even play Simeone. We didn't play Raspadori. Ndombele was on the bench. Speaks volumes of this team. And hopefully we can continue this because, again, we have a big game coming up this week against Fiorentina. But I feel like if Napoli could start picking up some momentum, they have to be a team that a lot of fans have to look out for, because attackingly, it looks like we're a more creative team attackingly, but we got to continue this, and hopefully we can.
Yeah, very well said. Just to piggyback off what you said, Dallas, this kid,
Kalawashkilia?
Yeah, him. I'm going to learn how to say his name, because he's special.
I'm learning it too. He's special.
My God. We're talking about goal of the season, and this definitely has to be up there. I remember that, I'm just watching the game, and in the first, I want to say 20 minutes, Monza looked all right. They were holding the ball well. Napoli were getting the ball. It was very, back and forth. And then this strike just came from, like you said, Dan, absolutely nowhere. And I jumped out of my seat. I'm like, holy shit, what a goal. That's incredible. And I texted the chat that we're in and say, wow, what, my God, what a goal. And then it didn't stop there. After that goal, it ignited a spark in Napoli. I don't know if it deflated Monza or what happened, but Napoli were getting chance after chance. Osimhen could have had a hat trick if he wanted. Got unlucky with just going over the bar with his headers. But Batman Jr. finally scored right before the half. And I think EA Sports, I think when the new FIFA comes out, I'm expecting to see Osimhen in that mask. Because I think when he has that mask on, he has superpowers. Because he's playing very, very well when he has that mask on. And so far, the first two games of the season, he's played exceptionally well. And just to piggyback off what you said, Dan, of the top teams, Napoli have definitely played the best soccer out of the top teams for sure. The team's core has left, but for the most part, you guys haven't had that many signings integrated, except for Kim and the kid who's been very, very good.
Yeah.
And I think he's definitely your saving grace for Napoli, and I'm going to be very intrigued to see how. I think Simeone isn't going to make that much of an impact. I think he's just going
to
be
Osimhen's vice. I think Simeone will have a bigger impact than a lot of people expect, because of the fact that we are playing in Champions League. We got Coppa Italia games.
International break.
Sometimes
sure.
Where we have an international break, say, for example, Osimhen comes back, because he's going to be playing a lot for Nigeria.
Yes.
And a lot of times where he comes back, we push him to the 11 because we don't have a player. We don't have
a suitable backup.
Like a reliable striker to play that position. Now it gives us that opportunity. Say, for example, Kvaratskhelia plays a lot for Georgia. Osimhen plays a lot for Nigeria. Okay, you know what? Here, put Raspadori and Simeone. So those are two players I can start for majority of teams in Serie A. And the fact that we have that luxury, I'm going to call it, to bring them off the bench, to start them whenever we want, that's a very good thing to have. And
yeah, 100%.
All of a sudden, our attack, okay, I'm okay now if, say, Osimhen has to rest the game or so. I guess a team like maybe Lecce or Spezia, because I know Simeone can, I'm not going to say Simeone's, he's Osimhen, we don't need him. But Simeone, I can trust Simeone to put a goal in the back of the net. I can trust Raspadori to create a lot of chances for him because he's used to playing with a big striker like Scamacca. And obviously, I think Simeone is a couple inches smaller, but they're both strikers that need the ball in the box, that can score in the box. And all of a sudden, we have two good talents at left wing. And even Raspadori can play that cam position. Say if Zielinski has to come off, he can play center forward. So we have the luxury of bringing in other players now, which I feel like we can afford to give Osimhen, put him on the bench a few games, put Kvaratskhelia if he's maybe nicked up on the games. Maybe even, put Kvaratskhelia on the right, put Raspadori on the left, see what happens.
Yeah, no, you guys definitely do have a decent amount of depth in that attack, which is needed. Like I said, I think Simeone is going to be Osimhen's vice, which is incredible because that's what you need. You need a suitable backup for Osimhen so he doesn't feel the pressure that he needs to play every second.
You can argue a top 10. I know I'm getting way too hyped for this Simeone, Raspadori thing, which is, if you guys have listened to past podcasts since we started, you would know I'm a big Simeone guy. I'm a big Raspadori guy. Now that they're both on Napoli, I'm over the moon with these guys. I like them as players, and I just like the way they play. And the fact that you can even, some people can argue that Simeone is maybe a top 10 striker in Serie A. You could probably argue that, like maybe top 7, top 10 striker. And the fact that we have him as a backup, yeah, that speaks volumes. Like, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good. I think with Raspadori, I wouldn't be surprised if he slots into that starting 11 and forms that trident with the kid and Osimhen. I think that's going to intrigue me a lot if Spalletti tries that. I think Lozano's good. I was never a big fan of Lozano. I think he has his game.
Moments, yeah.
I feel like he has a good game, and then after that, he kind of just falls off. I think Raspadori would be much more crucial and much more consistent than Lozano. But so far, Lozano has been playing all right. From the two games I've watched Napoli, he's put in a couple of great balls in. But I don't think he's done anything spectacular. I think that's what Raspadori could offer. So I think Raspadori in the next, maybe not next game, but maybe the game after, you start seeing him integrate into the starting 11. And I think that'll be interesting. And then, like I said, with Simeone, I think once Osimhen needs a rest or whatever, or maybe Spalletti stops playing Osimhen for the full 90 for a lot of these games, just to keep his fitness up. I think maybe if, like a game like Monza, you guys are 4-0 up, or at the time it was 3-0 because Kim scored at the death over there.
Yeah, close to the 90th.
But you guys are 3-0 up. I think Spalletti were like, okay, you know what? We're 3-0 up. Osimhen, we don't really need any more goals. Here, come off. We'll put Simeone on. Keep your fitness. I think that's what Simeone's main role is going to be. And I think that's important for Napoli and Osimhen and Simeone, because I think between those parties, they're going to get the minutes that they need. And they're also going to make sure that all their players are healthy and ready to play any game they need. And then, once again, the kid easily could have had a hat trick with the chances he's had. He scored a brace, which was incredible. The first goal was obviously nicer than the second, but the second was still very nice. So now, if you guys watch the games on Fubo, this is where it got a little out of hand, because the commentators were comparing him to Maradona. I'm not sure if it's the commentators made that up on their own, or if
it's
heard from Napoli fans.
The Napoli fans, they just...
He's the next coming Maradona.
They joke around, they call him Clavadona, just because of... Not because of...
Just the magic he created.
Just like, yeah, the chances he creates. It's like the ball, like a lot of times, it's like when he dribbles, the ball is stuck to his foot. Like he dribbles...
Yeah, He's a very tall individual, and the way he moves is very...
6'1". And a lot of times, if you guys want to take a chance to watch the game against Monza, watch the game against Verona, even just watch some highlight compilations. But what I've noticed with him, the ball sticks to his foot when he dribbles. And his dribbling ability is, when he drops shoulder...
Very good.
Unreal. Like, there's a few players... I can say on Napoli, I can just stick with Napoli. There's a few players in the past, not even, that when they drop that shoulder to dribble by you, good luck getting the ball off of them. And he's strong too. There's times where I felt like he could have lost the ball, but he stood strong and he dribbled by the guy. He's a very good dribbler and he's a very good creator, and he can all of a sudden, like you said, Fred, all of a sudden, boom, 1-0 from a wonder strike. And that's what he can bring. And I'm hoping he can continue that throughout the year, because if this kid, if he can continue to perform like this, look out. I feel like Napoli have a star in their hand. And
easily.
This guy's got already, I'm not going to try to like hype him up, but what he's been doing so far, there's very rare players I've seen in the past for Napoli that already, you could say, won the heart of the fans. You could say maybe Osimhen, he won the hearts later throughout that later year, because he was really inconsistent at the first few games with Napoli, but Kvaratskhelia, even from preseason, he's been looking good. And I feel like as the days go on, he's becoming a fan favorite in Napoli.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think, like you said, Dan, obviously, I knew nothing about this guy, like absolutely nothing. Preseason, I didn't watch Napoli. So, again, I didn't know anything. My first, like, time I'm seeing him was obviously the first game. And he was good. Like, he was very good. And then this game, he was something else. I don't know what it was. I think the more games he's playing, the better he's getting. And that's very scary. That's very good for Napoli. But at the same time, I also feel like he continues this form up for the whole season. You're going to have, De Laurentiis is going to have to kind of either put his foot down or he's getting a big payday for this guy because like I said, he continues this form that he's having. Obviously, it's only the first 2 weeks. But if he continues this form, hypothetically, a big team is definitely coming in to swoop in for him because he's from the looks of it, he's very special. And he's going to get those big comparisons coming up. So hopefully for Napoli's sake, he keeps it up. And also hopefully for Napoli's sake, if he does keep it up, De Laurentiis kind of puts his foot down and, keeps him at the club because that's what Napoli need, a player like him. And I think he's the perfect Insigne replacement. I think we were talking about this, off the pod, but I think with Insigne, he's a great player, obviously a Napoli legend. But for the past couple of seasons, he's kind of been meh and hasn't been the explosive. I think this guy brings that explosiveness to Napoli, which is what they needed. And the attack is flowing very great. So it's going to be interesting to see how Napoli finish off and kind of go on. Like Danny said, they have a big test away against Fiorentina this week. So we'll see how Napoli hold up against a bit of a better side. And how this kid takes on, but definitely all the chips are on his shoulder.
Yeah,
and then,
I agree.
Moving on, I'm going to let you start off here, Dan, again, with Atalanta Milan. This game is more fresh in my head. I just finished watching it last night, actually. So, Dan, I'm going to let you start this one off.
Yeah, it was... I found it was entertaining, as a neutral, you could say. Malinowski, when this guy scores, it's nothing
normal.
It's
only bangers.
It's only bangers, and you could say he scored a good goal against Milan. And then just from, like, the minute they scored, I wasn't really impressed with Atalanta at all. I felt like once they scored, Milan were, obviously, I wasn't really even impressed with Milan, but they found a way to score. Bennacer, what a goal that was, too. It was very well-placed
very
goal.
Good.
Took it
very
well.
Good.
But I wasn't really, like, this game, it was entertaining here and there because of just both teams are two, you could say, well, Atalanta, yeah.
Two top teams.
You could say two top teams, like, especially after last season. I don't know if we would consider Atalanta that, but, again, every team has their down year, and I feel like that was theirs. But, again, I wasn't really impressed with the way Milan played this game. I felt like they could play it a little bit better. Obviously, it's still fresh in the year, but these first two games for Atalanta, it was a good first opening game, but this game, I feel like they could have played better, even Milan. But it was a good point for Milan at the end of the day, because anytime you can go into Atalanta, get a point, it's a big point. And I really want to just give you a little credit to Salamakers, who I thought once he came into the game, he really changed the way Milan played. He won that ball back, found Bennacer, who placed it home beautifully. Beautiful. Placed a beautiful finish, I should say. And I feel like, okay, for Milan fans, I know, again, two games of the season, just take what we say with a grain of salt, but just keep in mind, lay out these first two games, I really haven't been impressed with. I feel like...
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's just kind of like a MVP hangover. I really haven't been impressed with him. And I feel like if Milan want to continue, go back to back, say, for the Scudetto, I feel like he has to become that top guy. He's got to get back. He's got to become he has to get to the level he was at last year, but maybe even a little better. I feel like Tonali's been playing well. Calabria had a good outing. I felt like he was probably maybe the second best player on the pitch, you can say. But just Milan need Leao to step up, take that big spark, which I feel like he will. But these first two games, he really hasn't been doing that too much. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was a good point for Milan on the road, especially against Atalanta, where they had to come back. Atalanta were more kind of like defending, you can say. Once they scored that goal, they were just sitting back. They really didn't create too many chances. But good point for Milan as they got a tie. They could have even won this game too, I felt like, at times. But just circumstances here and there, they couldn't really find the back of the net for that second goal. But I felt like it was a good point for Milan, and they really need Leao to step up if they want to go back to back, which I feel like he will throughout the season.
Yeah, very well said. This game, like I said, I just finished watching last night, so it's more fresh in my head. I was just during the game, the Juventus when we were playing in the Champions League, so I was watching that. But like Danny said, I think with Leao, he definitely needs to step up a bit more, and it's hard because Milan depends so much on him, and I feel like Leao feels that. But if I'm not mistaken, last season as well, the beginning of the season, he played all right. He wasn't like the Leao we know, like the MVP Leao. It kind of took him a couple of weeks to get into that groove, and I think same's going to happen here. It's inedible for him to get into that form. I just think it's going to take a bit more time. He's tired, fatigued, whatever it might be. I think it's going to take him a bit more time. But I definitely think Milan were the better team. From Atalanta, there was a chance where Teo gave a beautiful ball, like a very incredible ball. I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was to Junior Macias, if I'm not mistaken. Where they could have scored. It was a great ball. I can't remember the player he gave the ball to now, but it was a fantastic chance. And I think Milan were more creative with the ball. Obviously, Malinovskyi started off the scoring with that outside of the box finish. And like we always said, Malinovskyi only scores bangers, and that could be his farewell for Atalanta fans. Say here, take the point against Milan. Goodbye. Have fun. But a good farewell if that is the case. It's going to be a shame for Atalanta fans to see such a gifted player leave their team yet again. But other than that Malinovskyi's goal, I think Zapata had maybe a chance or two where he could have scored if he did done a bit better. Just got unlucky. But other than that, it was all Milan's chances. Possession-wise, both teams did have a good amount of the ball, and they were trying to create chances. Milan were just definitely the more creative team, and Tonali played an excellent game. I think he was one of the man of the matches for me. The balls he was playing in and the way he was controlling that mid was very good. And then we also had that Benasser, beautiful curler from the right side all the way to the left side of the goal, which was a very nice finish to salvage Milan that point, which was deserved, I think. Milan deserved to edge the victory. They just couldn't find the back of the net more than once. So that's unfortunate for Milan fans. But it was a very entertaining game. And I just think Milan, as the weeks are going to go on, they're going to get those chances. And they're going to start waking up a bit more. But this is a tough Atalanta team away. So it's never easy, no matter the form Atalanta's in. So we'll see how they respond next week against Bologna, which is going to be a very interesting game. I think they should get a couple of goals against them and get a more comfortable win. But we'll see how they march on through next week. Well, moving on. Obviously, we don't have Enzo to talk about this game. But Dan, I'm going to let you start off. Roma, Cremonese. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
You know what? I'm going to give Cremonese a little credit. I thought they played okay. I thought they went to, it's a tough place to go when you go to the Stadio Olimpico, especially now with the hype around, say, Dybala, their attack. They're playing well, coming off a Conference League win. I believe this was their first, you could say, official game of this home game of the season. I know they had that incredible outing against Shakhtar when they had it sold out for their preseason, but this was their first, you could say, what's the term? Like, you could say official.
Their home opener. Yeah.
Yeah, the home opener of the season. And again, Roma, attacking wise, I thought they were the better team attacking wise. Cremonese held their own. Kitty Kish made some nice tackles. And Radu made some beautiful saves. I believe it was Zaniolo he robbed on the first shot, and then the follow through came off to Dybala who volleyed it, but Radu made a nice save. I feel like Radu this game was the Radu I remember watching when he was on Genoa, especially against in that under 21 tournament where Romania, I do believe they made the finals or semifinals. And he was a big factor for that, and it looked like he was in good form this game. Going back, Zaniolo left the game with an injury. I know, sorry, Enzo, I know you want to hear that, but we later found out he may be out maybe up to 3 to 4 weeks. So luckily, it's not a serious injury because he's been so unlucky with these injuries, man. It's like you feel for him. It wasn't even like a bad play. The defender, I believe it was Loco Scalvi-Velli or whatever, the center back for Cremonese, won the ball. But just the follow through, he just landed on heavily on the shoulder. Luckily, he avoided a big injury. So Roma fans will probably get to see Zaniolo in 3 to 4 weeks. If all goes well, I do believe. But yeah, it was a good ball on the corner for the goal. It was a great ball by Pellegrini. He found Smalling, who headed it home nicely. I do believe Smalling is their best defender. Just going back to the side. Besides the goal, he was in good positions to help his team. He won the ball a lot back this game. And he's just, you could say he's kind of their anchor of their defense. Without him, Roma defensively look a little lost. But I do believe he's their best defender. He was probably their best. You can argue maybe him and Pellegrini. Even Cristante had a good game. Dybala was creating a lot of chances. But you can even argue that Pellegrini and Smalling were probably the two best players in the entire game. I really was impressed with the way they played. And I give a little credit, too, again, to Cremonese. I thought they played a strong game. They didn't roll over, say, like other teams once they get that first goal. They hung in there. They created a few chances here and there, too. But I just thought they didn't have the, you could say, the quality to maybe level up this game. And going back to what Francesco said last week, too, out of all the promotion teams, I felt like Cremonese, once again, were the best promotion team this week. They played tough against Roma, a very talented Roma team, in a tough environment at the Stadio Olimpico. It's a very tough environment, no matter what place Roma finished the previous season. It's always a tough place. They love their team. They're very passionate fans. It's a very loud stadium, too. Especially pregame when the song was playing, you can think everyone was singing. And it was just a very good opening, home opener win for Roma. And once again, it's another 1-0 victory, but they did have a lot of chances that the goalie made saves. They missed a few chances here and there too, but it was a very impressive display from Roma, just controlling the way they played. And again, Cremonese held their own, but it wasn't enough to maybe get a point or so.
Yeah, like you said, Dan, I think I praised this team last week. I'm going to praise this team this week again. Cremonese has very much surprised me, obviously, in the predictions. I think I had them 18th. Just out of the teams on paper, obviously, Monza looks the best out of the promotion side. Playing-wise, Cremonese is the best team out of these promotion teams, no doubt about it. The way they play, the way they hold their shape, they're a very annoying team to play against. And the only unfortunate thing for them is their opening week, they just have a very tough schedule. But once they get into those teams where they're a bit more on their level, I think we're really going to see this Cremonese side shine. And that's when fans are really going to see how good this team is. Obviously, I'm not going to say they're getting top 10 or anything like that, but they're definitely, if they continue playing the way they're playing, I definitely think they're going to be staying in the Serie A comfortably. Again, Fiorentina, tough loss 3-2. Then away at this Roma, a 1-0 loss is almost like a slight victory because they've held off Paulo Dybala, Abraham, Zaniolo until he got injured. But even El Shaarawy and Pellegrini, that quartet, like I said, similar to last week, I think this team is just going to take a couple of games to get off the ground and running. They're having the chances, and the soccer they play is very beautiful. We were talking about Napoli's style and how Napoli's been the best team. It's because Napoli's been converting. I feel like if Roma could finish their chances, they'd definitely be the best team out of the top teams. I just think that's their only vice right now is just they're not being able to convert their chances. They're making the chances, they just can't finish. And I think Zaniolo had a chance. Obviously, he also had that unfortunate shoulder injury. So again, Enzo, we're sorry. He won't get to see Zaniolo live. But thankfully for Roma fans, it's only 3 weeks. And I think he's going to come back bigger and better than ever. But Dybala was making chance after chance. Abraham, I'm not going to say he was quiet this game. He did have his fair share of contributions, but he was definitely more quieter than the first game. And I think he just needed to be a bit more involved in the play. And then obviously the midfield held down the fort, and that goal by Smalling kind of salvaged Roma. Because I definitely think this game was ending in a tie, even though Roma did deserve the victory 100%. It's just that clinical finishing that Roma just needed to brush up on. And Cremonese just, again, I feel like defensively, it's just one of those annoying teams that no team wants to face. Because it's just going to be a team, it's going to be a very lackluster score. But offensively, if Cremonese could get their offense rolling, I think they're going to be a very dangerous team. I think that's the only thing they need to work on. But other than that, they're looking very sharp so far, despite not having any points. They're looking very good. Yeah. Now, Dan, I want you to start this because
okay.
I feel like if I start, I'm not gonna finish. So I'm gonna let you start with this. Sampdoria,
I'll keep it quick. I just feel like Juve dropped 2 points. I know going into Sampdoria, tough. Right? Any road game in Serie A is a tough to get 3 points. But just the way Sampdoria have been playing these last few years, I personally believe they don't play good soccer at all. I don't like the way they I don't like the coach. I don't like Gianpaoli. I just don't like their team as a whole. I feel like outside of Sabiri, maybe Caputo, and Coley, those are the only players that really stand out to me. Quagliarella, he's good, but he's getting up there in age. They really don't have much. And Juve, they didn't play good at all. For me, I didn't even like the way their midfield played. I thought their midfield was complete useless like at times. When guys like Bremer, Danilo are your best players, something's up, especially against Sampdoria. Something's up. There was a chance in the first half where Agallo, I don't know what the heck he was doing. He just like froze, or like it was like in FIFA where this player misses the ball. Cuadrado was in all alone. All Cuadrado had to do, just give it to Vlahovic. You know Vlahovic is in the box, he's going to score. Tries to take on a shot, Odero makes the save. Vlahovic, again, this game, besides that, maybe that one chance he could have had, invisible. Kostic wasn't the Kostic that a lot of people wanted him to be, but give him time because he's just adjusting to the league. But for me, I feel like he has to create a lot more chances. I think he had maybe one successful dribble this whole game. And then the rest of the game, I didn't hear about him at all. And they scored a goal. I believe it was Locatelli. Vlahovic did well to find Locatelli, but the goals were called back from an offside. It was Rabiot.
Rabiot.
Then the goal was called back from offside because of Vlahovic being offside. I didn't like the way you've been playing. And there's a quote, I believe, that Allegri said. I'm banking this is true because it was said, I think. He goes, well, we haven't conceded 2 goals, so that's a good point. In 2 games. Yeah, you defensively, yeah. Well, anytime you can keep a clean sheet, that's good. But you have to look at Sampdoria really didn't do much this game. They really had maybe one shot or two. You were going up against a depleted Sassuolo, who were on the verge of selling Raspadori, who just lost Scamacca. Pinamonte just joined the team like a day before the game. If you're conceding goals to those, like to that, like in these circumstances, to teams like Sampdoria and Sassuolo early on in the season, I should say, something's up. But whatever, Allegri said that quote, and I don't know if it's true. I saw it online. I saw it on Twitter, and I'm banking it's true. But he's not been playing good, and I know it's early on in the season. Anything can happen. It's Juve. They always start off slow, and then they find ways to go on like a 20-game unbeaten run and end up coming second or first, whatever. But the way Allegri's been playing these last 2 years, it's not attack. There's no attack. Their midfield's been, I'm going to say it, terrible. Like, I know they brought in Pogba, they brought in Di Maria, and those are two big names that can help. But Pogba's hurt, Di Maria's hurt, and they're back to the same Juve they were. I feel like they need before the window closes, they need to bring in more midfield. Or you got Rovella, who looked good when he came in. You got Moretti, who looked okay when he came in. You got Fagioli. Play these guys instead of Rabiot, McKinney, Locatelli. You expect him to do well. But he's been, since he's joined Juve, he's been all right. He hasn't been the Locatelli he was at Sassuolo, the Locatelli from the Euros. So, I don't know. For me, I feel like this is 2 points dropped from Juve. And the point for Sampdoria, if you're a Sampdoria fan, you'll be doing cartwheels till the next week, till the game this weekend. Because this was a game you guys deserve to lose. Colley played very good. Sabili played good. And Adero made some nice saves. This is a point that Sampdoria, they dodged a massive bullet because just how poor Juve played. And this is just my opinion, but yours could be different. But just look at them, I wasn't really impressed with the way Juve played this game. And if they continue to go down this path, I feel like it's going to be a long season for you guys.
Yeah, no, of course. Like you said, Dan, Juve played like shit. There's no beating around the bush. I think from the start, looking at the midfield, obviously Rabiot was supposed to go to United and talks broke down because his mother values him higher than he actually is in terms of wages. And instead of us, I think the smart thing Napoli did was froze Fabian Ruiz out of the squad. With Rabiot, we should have done the same thing. I'm 50-50 on him. I think he's an okay midfielder, but he's not a starting caliber midfielder. And I think with the midfield we have, there's better players that should start. But nonetheless, Allegri gave Rabiot the start. And this is just a team you would see from last season. I think Payet played incredible. He was definitely our best player, which is saying something. The save he made really saved us because that should have been a goal.
It hit the crossbar too. Yeah, he made a nice save.
It hit off of him and then hit off the crossbar and then he saved it again. Obviously if he didn't get that touch in, it was going in the net. So I think he's been our best player so far. So I'm going to be interested when Chesney comes back because he's been very good for us. I think Sandro, he was playing all right. He wasn't playing bad. He wasn't playing amazing. He was playing all right. And then we kind of subbed him off for DiCiglio in the first half. So I'm assuming there was some, sort of injury, with Sandro, because I don't contemplate why DiCiglio would come on for Sandro at halftime. Other than that, Bremer, he played great. He had a couple of mishaps, a couple of poor positioning. That first chance where Payet made that incredible save was Bremer's fault. His positioning was very poor, and I forgot who shot the ball. But he got past Bremer pretty easily, and then he had a very bad pass, very weak pass to McKennie, which almost led to another goal by Sampdoria. But out of the three stooges of midfield, McKennie was definitely the better of the three. He was trying to create and he was trying to play. That Cuadrado chance, it's easy in hindsight to say he should have played to Vlahovic, and I was screaming to pass to Vlahovic. But I think once you're in that position, you only have an eye for goal. And I wasn't mad that he shot the ball. I was just mad that he shot it right at a doodle instead of trying to place it far post. So that was very disappointing. And again, had a very poor game with Cuadrado. Similar to the first game, I wasn't impressed with him at all. Just to disagree with you, Dan, I think Kostic played very well. He had, when he did get the ball, it was hard for him to get the ball because, you know, he had Rabiot, Cinderella, and Locatelli who were just non-existent. So Kostic was running, basically playing left wing back and trying to make chances from there, which is very difficult to do. But when he was in that attacking sense, he was crossing balls in and trying to get the balls in. With Vlahovic, I can't blame him. Honestly, I really can't. Sampdoria played very smart here. They had their two center backs and then their midfielder on Vlahovic. So Vlahovic had three guys on him. And we were just too stupid to see it. I don't know if it was Allegri, I don't know if it was the players. We were too stupid to see that three players were on Vlahovic at all times. That we should have just utilized the wings. We should have utilized Cuadrado and Kostic. And when Keane came on, used Keane to try to get that ball and just run with it. And then when the center backs come out to attack, we give it to Vlahovic. But I don't know what we were thinking. Again, with Locatelli, first game I said I was disappointed with him and Zakaria. Again, he was a ghost this game. There was one play where it was reposted on Twitter as well. But I remember seeing it where I think it was Rugani on the ball or DiCilio, one of the two, and there was another one with Pedin on the ball. And you would see the field, and in the midfield where the midfield is supposed to be, there was actually no one there. And you would think at least one person would be there to collect the ball, but no one was there, and that was very poor. So again, this midfield isn't working. I really want to start the youth. I think Meretti and Rovella, in the 10 minutes they got to play, did more than Rabiot, Locatelli, and McKennie did all game. They were our starting spot. And then when Rabiot did get that goal, it was Meretti. I give all credit to Meretti that goal. He played that beautiful ball to Vlahovic, who cut in and passed to Rabiot. Unfortunately, it was offside, but that was all Meretti. And I don't know what's happening with Fagioli. I don't know why he hasn't played yet. He was definitely our best midfielder in the preseason out of the three youth. I have nothing against Rovella and Meretti. I think they've been exceptional, but I think we should have subbed off Rabiot for sure. I don't know. We subbed off Locatelli and McKennie, but we kept Rabiot on, which made no sense because he was definitely our worst player out of the three. But I definitely think I want to see Fagioli play. Get that midfield trio of Fagioli, Meretti, and Rovella. Just get it going because this midfield isn't working. Might as well try something new. And Pogba can't come soon enough. Same with Di Maria. I think once our team's there, once we have Chiesa, once we have Di Maria, once we have Pogba, I think this team's going to look a lot different, hopefully. But it's just a likely stubbornness right now. He's not adapting to the play. He's not adapting to the new style of football. And that's really going to cost us. And I said it to a couple of my friends who are Juve fans. I said, I'm giving Allegri until the World Cup break. If we're not in a contention to win the Scudetto by the World Cup break, and I mean like we're not in top four comfortably, we need to get rid of him and go in a different direction because this is all Allegri. He asked for the players he wanted. He got the players he wanted. So we can't blame anyone else. When we had Sadi and Pirlo, they weren't backed by the management. Allegri is 100% backed by this management. He asked for whoever he asked for, he received. So this is all him. It's just his tactics are outdated and he doesn't want to change. So hopefully we wake up against Roma. It's a very big game. Obviously it's at home. I think it's going to help a lot with our ultras being there. Hopefully our ultras stay after this poor performance. But we'll see how we go on against Roma. And hopefully we could get the 3 points there, because losing points to Sampdoria this early on in the season is giving me flashbacks to last season, where we choked at the beginning of the season and kind of had to just crawl back to get to that top four. But like I said, hopefully Pogba comes back quick, Di Maria comes back quick, Chiesa comes back, and we can start rolling. But until then, we just got to play with what we have, and I feel like we could keep Locatelli in the mid, I think. Pair him up with Meretti and Fagioli. And then if Locatelli's playing poor, put in Ravella. But other than that, I think that's all we can do. I think the team just plays the way they play. Just put in those midfielders, and I think we'll get the chances we need.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't impressed either at all with the way Juve played, especially their midfield. But again, it's so early, so who knows? Maybe it could be just like some rust getting draped off, but we'll see. Yeah, and going back to Roma now, Juve Roma. I just want to touch up on some big games that we're going to be seeing this weekend.
Yeah, very big games this weekend.
There's a lot of them, actually. So we'll start off on the Friday, Inter versus Lazio. Already a huge, that's a 6-pointer already, match day 3 for Serie A. Then on the Saturday, we got Juve and Roma, another huge game. And just to top it off, on the Sunday, we got Napoli-Fiorentina. Napoli traveled to Florence to play Fiorentina. It's going to be a tough game for us. Those are just some of the games that we're going to highlight for this week. Obviously, we got Milan and Bologna. Maybe it's a more comfortable game for Milan. We'll see.
Verona-Atalanta.
Verona-Atalanta, very intriguing game, actually. I feel like this game could have some sparks. Maybe a Verona upset, who knows? And a game like I'm kind of curious to see what could happen. Salernitana versus Sampdoria. I feel like this could be a game that we may look back on when it comes to deciding who we think might get relegated. And I feel like this game could have a significant impact on maybe those standings at the bottom. So that's another game that I'm personally interested in seeing as well.
Yeah, a very good match day for Serie A. Like I said, hopefully Juve pick up all 3 points against Roma. I think that would be a huge confidence boost. I think now would be the best time to play Roma, with their quartet not clicking as of yet. Obviously, Zaniolo injured. We have Di Maria injured as well, and Pogba. But I think with Zaniolo injured, it's big for Juve. But we'll see with Dybala's home return, obviously, and Tammy and Pellegrini. I think that's going to be a very scary trio to face up against. And let's see if our defense could handle it. And let's see if our attack can wake up and our midfield can wake up and could put a couple of goals against Roma and get the win.
Yep.
Well,
I think so too.
I think that's everything for today. So thanks for joining in, guys. Obviously, next week, very, very intriguing match day, like we've said. Let's see if the kid can continue his run of form. Can Juve get out of the slumps, and how these teams are going to march on? Can Cremonese get their first 3 points of the season again against a struggling Torino side? We'll see next week. But I think it's been a great episode, Dan.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And guys, also too, make sure you follow us on social media: Twitter at @SixSideCalcio, Instagram at @SixSideCalcio. And you can just get our podcast on any podcast platform: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. It's at @SixSideCalcio. I believe it's just, you can type #SixSideCalcio podcast.
Yeah. It'd be called the #SixSideCalcio podcast. But if you just search up #SixSideCalcio, it'll show up.
It'll show up as well. And guys, our YouTube channel, I know we've been inactive for YouTube, but we don't really upload on YouTube too much because we just didn't like the algorithm on YouTube. But if you guys want to see clips from past episodes and stuff, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at @SixSideCalcio as well. And, thank you guys all for the support you've given us. It's our first week really without kind of like Enzo on the podcast, but we're going to try to make it entertaining as possible. Like he was here because he's a big factor for us. He's the one that goes, okay, guys, let's talk about this, talk about that. And he's kind of like the host of the podcast. So hopefully we can kind of match that energy. And we just hope he has a good and safe time in Italy. I believe he might be going to that Juve game.
He wanted to go to the Juve game, but his cousin didn't want to travel to Torino. But he is going to the Roma Monza game, so we'll get lots of content for you guys.
Content from that as well.
Perfect. He's currently in Napoli right now, Dan. Actually, so.
I may have to shoot him a text. Give me a jersey.
maybe the kid jersey again for next week, guys. I'm gonna learn how to say his name.
If you spend a few days in Napoli, he'll know.
I'm definitely learning to say his name for next week. But I think that's everything, guys. Thanks for listening. Ciao,
guys.